We've been doing some series of lessons on midnight Bible stories, and it leads into other things, of course. And I want to finish what we started almost finished last week, and then begin a new subject here this morning. And I'll have you go to the book of Jude. Recall that we mentioned that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, that he appeared unto several, and he also appeared unto James, his brother, and these brothers of Jesus and sisters, we pointed out how Acts 1 and 2, if you read it, shows how they got saved and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Also, in Galatians 1, you don't have to turn there, but after Paul got saved, he was in Damascus. He went out to Arabia. The Lord gave him his gospel message. He came back to Damascus, and then it says, after 3 years in Galatians 1:18, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, James, the Lord's brother, had become an apostle because of the... he became a believer after Jesus' resurrection, and he'd hung out with the apostles and learned and what they had, and became an apostle. He became the chief pastor there in the church in Jerusalem. He also had a brother, as we know, named Jude. Now, I had you turn to Jude in the first chapter, the first verse of Jude. There's only one chapter. First verse of Jude, it said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, that was the Lord's brother. So he wrote this epistle, and he mentions some unique things in this epistle that are not found in any other places in the scripture. This is a short book. It's only 25 verses. But in verse 9, Jude mentions Michael, the archangel, contending with the devil as he disputed about the body of Moses. Where do you read about that? Right here. In verse 14 and 15, Jude writes, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation from Adam, Enoch prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now, since we don't read these statements anywhere else in Scripture, where do you suppose Jude came up with this information? That Enoch was a prophet, that Enoch prophesied of these things. Well, you can ponder these kind of questions, and as you do, we find in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. The Word was Jesus. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. We read also in Isaiah 46:9 and 10, a statement that says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Now, again, in John 1:14, you know this one, we find that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. In John 1:11, we find that John wrote, Jesus, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Well, his brothers and sisters were among that group for a long time, till after his death and resurrection. So, having noted all this, and with these scriptures in your thoughts, we can easily see that he who was in the beginning with God, who also knew the end from the beginning, who was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, he could very easily have revealed unto his own brothers the words spoken by Enoch and the facts about Michael the archangel contending with the devil as he disputed about the body of Moses. And even though he could have made known to them these things before they were believers, he still could tell them these things. You know, just because you hear something and don't at that time necessarily believe it to be true doesn't mean it isn't true. Jesus, knowing the end from the beginning, he also knew that after his resurrection, his brothers would become believers, and the Holy Ghost would remind them of the words they heard from Jesus. The words of Jesus, no matter when they were spoken, are still the Word of God. Isn't he the Word of God?
Amen.
Yeah. And so how many conversations did he carry on with his brothers and his sisters as he grew up with them? He was telling them the truth every time he opened his mouth. So I guess that's why I say I think that's where Jude came up with this information that he wrote in his little epistle of Jude. And so we find with all of these things in the Midnight Bible story of Mary and Joseph and the different ones that we've read about in that portion, that the Lord is very patient with them, very patient with all of us. We don't learn it all at once. It takes a while. Mary pondered a lot of things in her heart, and they were things that you didn't quite understand. But years later, she told Luke what these things were that she'd been pondering, and she had grown to the point, because she was now full of the Holy Ghost, where she could appreciate more, a little bit more, of Jesus, who he was. And just to think back of, wow, I got to spend 33 years with him from his birth, his conception, to his death. She was there at the cross. Imagine that. We find a very happy ending in our story with Jesus and his mother and Joseph and his brothers and sisters. And it reaffirms what is said in Isaiah 55:11. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, when we begin our midnight Bible stories, I said we'll probably jump back and forth from a midnight Bible story in the Old Testament to a midnight Bible story in the New Testament, and back and forth we'll go as the Lord leads me on this. Well, we're going to go back to a midnight Bible story found in Judges. And specifically Judges 6 through 8. And there we'll read the story of Gideon. And something happened in the last month, very unusual in my 30 years of teaching here. I was asked some questions concerning Gideon about the overcomers and the warriors, and all those things are part of that. Brother Tim Baker back there, he come up to me and he'd been studying this, not knowing that I too had been studying about Gideon and working on these lessons for the midnight Bible stories there. And I thought, wow, isn't that something that the Lord would have us both digging in and finding stuff out? And Brother Tim Baker, he's still researching what he's going for in this portion. And he shared his notes with me. Very deep, profound thoughts he has there. And I'm, you know, he can hardly wait, he said, to hear what I have to say. Well, the Holy Ghost will open our hearts for each of us as you study these things out to get something different, perhaps, and something more than what you get just out of Sunday school. That's why we, in church, that's why we study these things on our own. That's how these things are revealed to us. This is how the Word of God speaks to us. And so as we get into this story of Gideon, you'll find he's mentioned as one of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:32. Now, you'll wonder about this as you go into it and read it and study it. But here again, the Lord doesn't give us this overcomer status instantly. We develop into that by faith. All those in the Hebrews 11 became full overcomers by faith. By faith. And there's some growth involved there, and there's some time involved there. And there's some things that happen even later that they received by faith, correct? All of us. We're not saved and, you know, all of a sudden we're mature, full overcomers that are found to be qualified to be in the bride of Christ. There's some growth that needs to take place, some qualifications that need to be met. Well, same as it is with Gideon. And I don't want us to think that Gideon was a slow learner, because we're all slow learners. Well, I'll raise my hand and be the head of the class on that. And I appreciate so much that I grew up in this church and have been here my whole life. I always felt like the Lord gave us slow runners maybe a little bit of a head start. You know, so I've been here 68 years now, pretty close to it. Now, I didn't start appreciating what was being taught until maybe I was a teenager. But even then, I was talking to Brother Dwayne Austin in his shop one day, and we'd listened to some of the lessons from Brother Franklin that are on our website, Brother W.J. Franklin, who used to be here. And I says, remember, we were just bored to tears when he would speak, you know. we'd just about fall asleep. You know why? We weren't mature enough to receive what he had to say. You listen to those same messages now, and I know I heard them, I was there, and I'm thinking, what's different? It's because our hearts, we've grown up a little bit in the Lord and appreciate more what was said back then. We should have appreciated it back then, you know? Well, in Judges 6 through 8, we find the story of Gideon, one of the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11:32. In this story, as we get into it, we'll go to Judges 6 first. We find the children of Israel, they were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Now, the meaning of the word impoverished, as is used here, means to be brought low, to be laid low, to be low, to be made thin, to be brought very low, and to be of distress. Have you ever been there? What would you call such a time? A midnight time, dark time in your life, maybe? The same Hebrew word that translates impoverished in Judges 6:6 is also found in a Psalm of David, a prayer of his when he was also in a cave. That Psalm is Psalm 142:6. And in Psalm 142:6, David says, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low, impoverished. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." Again, such circumstances defines a dark midnight time. We know that David and Gideon are left for us in Scripture as two of our heroes of faith who went through some very dark and trying midnight times in their lives, and they came out on the other side, Old Testament overcomers. So, as you get to Judges, the sixth chapter, we'll read why the children of Israel were greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, as we introduce our next midnight Bible story. And quite a bit of time is spent introducing the conditions that existed that brought them to this dark midnight time. Let's start reading in Judges 6:1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." This isn't the first time you'll read this statement. Amazing, isn't it? Think about it. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." Do you remember, I think, when Rod Mooneyhan showed his pictures of Israel, we saw a lot of these caves and stuff that they had in the mountains there. "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east," three different groups, "even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And finally, at long last, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, let's look at these verses a little closer. The first thing that we'll take special note of is that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. That's Judges 6:1. And, of course, the end result of all this was that they became impoverished and had to live in caves and dens and strongholds to avoid the Midianites. The phrase "did evil" is found 20 times in Scripture, and all of these scriptures are found in the Old Testament. The book of Judges contains 7 of these "did evil" statements. The phrase "did evil in the sight of the Lord" is found 13 times in Scripture, and 13 is a number of rebellion. Shows what they were. They were rebellious people. And the children of Israel had a long history of being rebellious, which is also noted several times in the Old Testament. In the last speech that Moses gave to the children of Israel, that was the book of Deuteronomy, I want to read some verses from Deuteronomy that shows that they were a rebellious people. In Deuteronomy 9:6, might as well turn there so you can see it, because it helps to also retain in our memory things that we both see and hear, and what we perceive with more than one of our senses. Deuteronomy 9:6, Moses says, "Understand, therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Oreb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was very angry with you to have destroyed you." In 9:24 of Deuteronomy, Moses goes on to say, "Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you." I guess they were rebellious, okay? In Deuteronomy 31:27, let's go there. And Moses asks a question, which is really a prophetic statement. He says, "For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. And how much more after my death?" He asked that question. Well, the events that are recorded in Judges 6 through 8 were about 200 years after Moses spoke these words. And the children of Israel in Judges 6:1 did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Midian means strife. Where did Midian come from? Midian was the fourth son of Keturah by Abraham, found first mentioned in Genesis 25:2. Interesting. Midian is found named in 38 scriptures, and the number 38 points to man looking at something other than God. which was exactly why the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Seven, we know, has two distinct meanings. One has to do with spiritual perfection, which we discuss quite a bit. But the second meaning of the number seven is spiritual completion. And spiritual completion references the complete work of God. That's how he brings us to spiritual perfection, through spiritual completion. A couple examples of this. In Genesis, it took 7 days in God's creation to complete a week. That was spiritual completion. That was God's completed work. It takes 7 notes to complete a musical scale. The 8th note starts a new scale. Takes 7 days to complete a week. The 8th day starts a new week. And you know, the book of Revelation is full of sevens, and it is a book that shows the completeness of all things. So it took 7 years of being completely impoverished by the hand of the Midianites before this rebellious group called the Children of Israel cried unto the Lord in Numbers 6:6. Finally, at long last, they were seeking his spiritual completion. Now, I'm going to give you another thought concerning the number 38, and this is kind of a just, you know, something to think about. We noted that Midian is found named in 38 scriptures, and the number 38 points to man looking at something other than God. Gideon, with the spelling that we find in the Old Testament, is found named in 37 scriptures. And in 37, anybody remember what that has to do with? The Word of God. That's correct. You either knew that or you had your cheat sheet handy. But the Word of God, as you know, is another name for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that's found in Revelation 19:13. Why is Gideon's name mentioned 37 times? Don't you think it points us to the Word of God? Gideon listened to the voice of the Lord, and he heard spoken unto him the Word of God. Okay, so now let's move on. Verse 2. After the Lord delivered the children of Israel into the hand of Midian 7 years, we read in verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for a multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. The people of contention and strife, the Midianites, caused the children of Israel to flee to the mountains and caves and strongholds. The Midianites, if you'll notice there, were joined by the Amalekites, who formed a confederacy with the Midianites against Israel. The Amalekites are a people who licks up or laps up, and Sister Bodie, who always liked to display things in types and figures, she noted that they figure those that are caught up with the lust of the world and the lust of the flesh. If you go back to those seven nations in Deuteronomy 7:1, I think you'll find the Amalekites mentioned there. Okay? Now, the Midianites and the Amalekites, they're joined in their confederacy by the children of the east. They just keep coming. All these ones that are against Israel. And they greatly outnumber the children of Israel. And they destroyed the crops of Israel. And when they did that, they left nothing for them, or their sheep, or their oxen, or their mules. Think about it. Israel was left with no animals to work with or to worship with. All of this was a result of God's chosen people doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And verse 5 tells us that this confederacy was innumerable, and they had entered the land of Israel to destroy it. What do grasshoppers do? Is there any benefit from a grasshopper other than to catch a big trout with, Alex? Grasshoppers destroy the land. And Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, again, number 6:6 says, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." And so they were brought low, is what impoverished means. And it was a dark midnight time in the history of the children of Israel. Then we read in Judges 6:7, "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord," he answered their cry, "the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice." Let's look at this a little closer. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and they cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. And guess what? The Lord heard their cry, and the Lord sent an unnamed prophet unto them. This prophet is unnamed in Scripture because the Holy Ghost wanted his message from the Lord noted, not the one who gave it. Not the prophet. We are to put the Lord first in our lives, and we are to also put the word of the Lord first in our lives. His word is perfect and complete, and that thought is brought out by the number 7, which we discussed earlier. The prophet here in Judges 6:8-10 brings out 7 spiritually complete points for the children of Israel to consider. Point 1, I brought you out of Egypt. Point 2, well, just a second. Egypt, recall, is a type of the world and speaks of the bondage of sin in our natural state, out of which a divine voice must call us. All Christians, figuratively speaking, are delivered from Egypt the moment they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Point two, they are told, I brought you forth out of the hand of bondage. Point three, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Point four, I delivered you out of the hand of all that oppressed you. Point five, I drove them out from before you. Point six, I gave you their land. And point seven, I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Note what is stated in the seventh point. I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, but ye have not obeyed my voice. The facts of Romans 10:17 must be engraved in the heart of all full overcomers. And that says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They had no faith because they were not hearing the word of God. We'll pick up from there, if the Lord tarries, next time. We're just still in the introduction of this.